Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
And we're detecting and removing so-called forever chemicals, referred to as PFAS. P-F-A-S-.
I said the word. The big one. The F-dash-dash-dash word.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
A record doesn't just get up and walk away. Except for my old Alan Sherman record.
There's a lot of Jews out there still get a laugh off of Hello Mudda, Hello Fada.
Hello Mudda. Hello Fada. I have joint camp. Intifada.
Ooh, such heat this morning. I don't need this jacket.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
The level of organization that we're seeing, leaflets on how to protest, leaflets on how what to do when you get arrested. There is somebody funding this. There is somebody radicalizing our students. We'll find out who it is. We're going to be asking them some questions.
There's evil afoot.
Evil! Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. The Karen Reed murder trial continues in Dedham today. And today the jury was taken to the crime scene in Canton, the formerly the McAlberts house, and where John O'Keefe, Boston police officer, was discovered dead in the snow under mysterious circumstances in January of 2022. And the judge insisted that the public be kept 100 yards away from the scene when the jury was looking around. They didn't go inside. They just looked around the yard, the very small front yard. Joining us now to talk about what happened today, including the testimony, is Aidan Kearney, a.k.a. Turtle Boy. He's a blogger. He's definitely involved in this case. He's been charged with witness intimidation. It's ridiculous, but those are the charges against him. Turtle Boy, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Howie.
Well, listen, first of all, tell us about the visit to the crime scene. Is there anything that we need to know, or do you know what happened?
I know that it was pretty quick. They were there for less than an hour, and then they came on back. And I've been to that scene many times before, and I think when you actually see how small the front yard is, you realize how impossible it would be if you were inside that house not to realize that somebody had been hit by a car outside that house. You realize that if you looked out the window, you would see a dead body on the front lawn. Like Matt McCabe says, he looked out the window and he saw V-shaped tire tracks in the snow, but he didn't see a 217-pound body on the lawn, which would have been directly in front of the tire tracks somehow. So he didn't see those. You also see the road is curved. You know, Karen Reed is not Jeff Gordon in reverse. She can't go 24 miles an hour in the snow when she's drunk. She can't do it. So when you see it all, you realize how impossible it really is to buy what the government is selling.
And most of us during a snowstorm, we tend to look out, I think, a little more often just to see what's going on. Right?
I don't know about you, Howie. I don't know. When I get to a party, I'm not really focused on watching this.
I don't. Well, I mean, if at the party, I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to get home, you know? I guess so,
yeah. But Matt McCabe says he was looking out the window. He's the window watcher at these parties. He was just standing out there looking, but he missed the most important part of the night when this guy allegedly got hit by a car. Somehow he just missed it. So, going there really provides a lot of perspective for sure.
Well, I want to ask you about they tried to introduce a picture, I guess, of one of the first responders, McLaughlin, posing in a scantily clad photo with some adult beverages with Caitlin Albert, right? And the judge wouldn't allow that to be seen by the witness, jury, excuse
me. Where'd that picture come from? Where'd that picture come from? Turtle Boy, TPDailyNews.com. We published that picture. We published everything that the defense used in court today. They got from Turtle Boy. I found all that stuff. We published it all out there. I showed that this woman, Katie McLaughlin, the only firefighter who was listed in the charging documents, was a high school classmate and good friend of Caitlin Albert.
Acquaintance was the word she used, though, right? Acquaintance.
She said that she knows. she's heard of somebody named Caitlin Albert before, she said. An acquaintance, yeah. You know, they're Venmo friends, or I guess we'll call them acquaintances now. Venmo acquaintances. You know, she only has 107 friends on Venmo, and Caitlin Albert is one of them. They went to high school together. They're on spring break together, pounding beers together. We got them in a bunch of pictures together in social gatherings. And then she says she barely knows her. I mean, why not just tell the truth? And if you're willing to lie about something that's right in front of you, what else are you lying about? And like you said, she's not allowing this in. Canone's not allowing this in. Like, half of the case for Karen Reed is Facebook pictures. Like, pictures of, you know, for instance, Michael Proctor's mother on a picture of
this the cop, the state cop. Yeah.
Right. The state cop's mother comments on Chris Albert's Facebook post, says the Alberts are a second family to the Proctors. I mean, is that going to be able to be used in court? Seems relevant. And there's a lot of stuff like that they're going to use to establish a relationship between all these people. And so if she's not going to allow Facebook pictures for whatever reason, it just shows she's clearly the fix is in for the Commonwealth. I mean, the defense is winning by a lot.
Right.
She's trying. She's trying to fix this game hard.
Right. I mean, if your life's at stake, you don't want it like you don't want a decision. You want a knockout. You want to get this thing over with, right? I mean, how about the fact that one of the defense lawyers got the woman, the beer pounder, to admit that her story has quote unquote evolved?
Yeah, that was great. She goes, yeah. Okay. I mean, Alan Jackson's a master class in the courtroom on cross-examination. He just destroys these people. And I got to admit, so you said this time, and now you're saying this. So your story has actually evolved. Because you denied it at first. So
right.
He walks her through it, and you said, you know, you added this part, didn't you? So, yeah, it's good. And she said, yes. Okay. And the worst part was the jury didn't see that. There's a lot of the stuff the jury didn't see. This was during the voir dire part of it. You know, when they showed all the pictures and they got a lot of this out.
Oh, so the jury hasn't heard that her story, the jury hasn't heard that her story has quote unquote evolved?
I'm not sure if they heard that. There was two separate parts. They grilled her for about 30 minutes and got her to admit a whole bunch of stuff and just made her look not credible at all, which was basically a trial run, because then they brought the jury back in and they said, do it all over again, except this time without the pictures. You can't use the pictures this time. They can't. You know, and so like she got practice, so she still looked like a schmuck. She still looked like a liar, like a townie covering for her friend. You know, she said that she didn't know who Brian Albert was. Come on. She grew up in Canton. There's like 100 Alberts in Canton. They run the town. You know, there's 8 Albert kids, 8 of them, and they all reproduced and had a whole bunch of other Albert children. It's like the O'Doyles from Billy Madison. Albert rules. Everyone in town knows who Brian Albert is. She's a liar.
I didn't know that Karen Reed had MS, and a couple of the texters and people have sent me emails. Is that new information today?
No, that's actually her and Jen McCabe, I'm told, have MS. That was in the charging documents, it says that that's one of the things that they were talking about at the waterfall bar that night.
But, I mean, you know, MS has certain symptoms, and one of them is it impacts emotions, correct?
Does it? I was understood that you can't walk eventually. That's what MS does to you. But I'm not an MS expert.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like that'll be brought up at some point in the trial. So if you were writing the lead for tomorrow for a newspaper, just, you know, and again, you lead with your best stuff. What would be your lead for tomorrow?
Oh, my lead would be that the something to do with the firefighter admits that her story has evolved and admits that she knows Caitlin Albert, but denies being close friends with her. Like,
right.
When confronted with pictures of friendship, denies friendship.
Yeah. When confronted with a picture of her and the daughter in scantily clad beach wear, chugging beers, she denied, she called her an acquaintance. How about that?
Yep. Barely knows her. But, yeah, I mean, this is what it's going to be like. These people all know each other. That's the problem here. And she admitted that she's the one that got in the van. And she also lied. There's a picture of her standing next to Jen McCabe and Karen Reed and Officer Saraf, the first officer on the scene. And she claims that when that picture was taken, Karen was saying, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him. yet Sarraf doesn't have anything like that in his report. And so she's the first, she admitted, she told the other first responders in the ambulance, she was saying, I hit him. She was saying, I hit him. And that's how the game of telephone starts. That's how they all start. And they said that they talk about it all the time at the fire station. They talk about this all the time at the fire station. And this is how rumors spread.
And you said on Twitter today that they found more taillight pieces. I assume you were joking about that, right?
No, that's a joke.
That's what I thought. But people are asking me. People, you got to be careful with this stuff, Turtle Boy, sometimes.
When satire becomes real life, Howie, it becomes dangerous. Like, we're living in the onion. You know, I mean, that Michael Proctor, every time he went back there, 5 undocumented trips, just kept finding more taillight. So, you know, maybe it grows in the ground like a perennial. I don't know. It's springtime. Taillight trees just popping out of the ground.
So what happens next week? How long do these firefighters and first responders go on?
Oh, God, hopefully it's over soon. I can't listen to any more first responders. I can't listen to any more resumes about Brewster Ambulance or anything like that. I'm hoping next week, and I'm hearing this, that we're going to start getting some McAlverts next week. I heard that Brian Albert is going to testify early next week at some point. I can't confirm that, but that's just what people are telling me. So that's when it's going to get really interesting. So buckle up.
What about the cops? They're going to put the so-called witnesses on before the cops?
They might never put the cops on, Howie. They might not put Michael Proctor on.
I know.
I mean, it's too dangerous. It's dangerous putting Michael Proctor on right now, if you're them. Which is just wild. I mean, how's that going to look to the jury? How's any of this look to the jury?
No one's taken the Fifth yet, though, right?
Not yet. You know,
these are kind of like the legit people that, you know, that answered the call. So they don't really have to take the Fifth. They've had some memory lapses, but no need to hold up the 5 fingers. That'll be next week.
These are the strongest witnesses, which really says something about the Commonwealth case. Yeah. Good luck. It's a fun starts next week. You'll see. It's going to be interesting. So buckle up.
All right. So your prediction, Albert, on Monday or later?
I heard Tuesday, but
Tuesday.
We'll see.
Okay.
I can't confirm that.
All right. Where can people go if they want to follow your stuff online, Turtle Boy?
We can go on tbdailynews.com or the Turtle Boy Live show on YouTube or on Twitter at Dr. Turtle Boy.
At Dr. Turtle. Hey, I like at Dr. Turtle Boy. That's where that's where I get my stuff early. You should put more stuff on the Twitter, I think. That, for me, that's better. That's where I like
great.
It.
Now that ever since Elon took on over Twitter and everyone gets to stay on now, it's awesome.
Yeah. No, it is. It's really good. Just make sure you got maybe put one of those satire things on with some of these.
Yes.
Some of these posts.
People don't take that seriously.
All right, Turtle Boy, good job, and you know, sorry you didn't get closer than 100 yards, you know, but that's the way it is sometimes. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend, right, Turtle Boy. Talk to you next week. 844-500-4242. That's Turtle Boy Aiden Kearney. He's covering the trial. The trial gets bigger by the day. More and more people ask me about it wherever I am, and people outside of Massachusetts, outside of Greater Boston, are interested in this case. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Become a Howie Carr Show super fan.
Subscribe to Howie's newsletter and you'll get the latest news, columns, cheap bastard deals, and other special offers from the Howie Carr Show. Just enter your name and email at HowieCarrShow.com.
The Emperor of Hate, Howie Carr, is back.
I just got a nice honor today from Talkers Magazine. Howie Carr to receive 2024 Lifetime Achievement Award. The editorial board has announced the selection of legendary New England talk show host. I get the Lifetime. That'll be next month. I'll go down to Hofstra on Long Island to pick it up on about a month from now on a Friday. And I really appreciate it. I'd like to thank Michael Harrison, the editor of Talkers Magazine, and everybody who gave me the award. I really appreciate it. You know what I always say, though, you know, I quote John D. McDonald, Travis McGee, his character, saying, you know, if you become a legend in your own time, it usually means you haven't got much time left. But I'll take it. I'll take the award. Thank you to everybody who gave it to me. Talkers Magazine. You can check it out. It's on our website, howiecarshow.com, the story, and we also tweeted it. It's not on the website. It's on social media. Excuse me, social media. So thank you very much to Talkers Magazine, and I'm honored to receive the award. And I hope I have more time left. I hope. Just don't. You can call me anything, but don't call me a legend. Okay, please. Today's poll question is brought to you by Northeast Hair Restoration. For May only, if you get a hair restoration, you will get the laser cap that I was given today by Dr. Thomas Brand. This is a $3,000 value. This is a $3,000 value, and it keeps your hair, after you've had the hair restoration, in top-notch condition. And again, this is the primo version of a laser cap. So you'll get a $3,000 free laser cap when you order the new PFE hair restoration procedure.
Can you heat up a Pop-Tart in that thing, too?
It's you know what it did? Made me nice and warm. It's the weather is getting a little bit warmer, but it'll keep you toasty in the winter, I think. 20 minutes every other day, 20 to 30 minutes, and in about 3 or 4 months. See, the procedure is state-of-the-art. But this keeps it even better
speeds up the results of the procedure.
Yes, it speeds it up. Plus, it's cool. It makes you look really cool. It impresses your dog. It'll impress Roscoe anyway. So anyway, that's the deal. So it's an even better deal, and this is only for the month of May. Order it, and you will get the $3,000 laser cap with it. So go to PFE. Hair.com. That's PFEHair.com, or call 1-800-208-HAIR, 1-800-208-HAIR, and you can hear the Meet the Experts segment on Dr. Mark DiStefano and Dr. Thomas Brand. It's still available at HowieCarShow.com. It's interesting. You can learn a lot about the process. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarShow.com, is which phrase best describes the protesters on college campuses? Hippies, Nazis, Nazi hippies, pampered pukes, Hitler youth, terrorist groupies, or freedom fighters?
Nazi hippies.
18% say Nazi hippies, 36% say pampered pukes, 29% say terrorist groups, 9% for Hitler youth.
All right. Thank you. Pete, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, hi, Howie. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
You know, you're welcome, too. The way I see it is, and maybe I'm wrong, Howie, before Joe Biden gets out with the Israel situation, I think that what they're going to do is try to pull a coup where they've tried so many times with Osama bin Laden. Obama, and they tried to take out Netanyahu.
Yeah, they want to. Schumer has said it's time for him to go. You see that Schumer has now joined Speaker Johnson in inviting Netanyahu to speak to a combined session of Congress. I mean, the guy, a month ago he said you got to go, and now he's saying can you come to Washington and speak to Congress. Talk about two-faced. Chuck Schumer. Thanks for the call, Pete. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
This is going to shock you. They've made an identification of the person who yesterday called Congressman Byron Donalds from Florida a race traitor and an Uncle Tom.
How much is APAC paying you, you race traitor?
Race traitor, really?
What? Yeah. Yeah. Uncle Tom?
Why the United States is supporting a Jewish supremacist country?
Outside agitators aren't allowed. You're working for a foreign entity,
you're
bastard.
Outside agitator, dude. Get him out of here. Get out of here,
yeah, sir. Student. That guy's really old to be in college.
And we're back live here. This is a professor from American University who also teaches at Georgetown, another professor from American University, kind of having a civics class with the protesters here.
Zahin al-Amin. Did I pronounce it correctly, Taylor?
Close enough to get that sound effect.
Can we get a look at his green card? Where is he from? Where is Zahin al-Amin from? We don't know. We don't know that yet. Just like we still don't know anything about Atta Othman, the 39-year-old bald guy who looks like one of the 9/11 terrorists who was, he's from Lebanon. You know, it used to be you had really productive citizens, and you still have some productive citizens coming from Lebanon, but you also have a new element coming in from Lebanon, like Zahin al-Amin. I'm gonna guess Zahin al-Amin was not related to, Danny Thomas, for instance, or one of the Maronite Christians who came from Lebanon.
He has an MFA in poetry from the University of Maryland. Poems have appeared in Wild River Review and Ghost Fishing, an eco-justice poetry anthology.
An eco-justice poetry anthology. Wow. Why doesn't he go back and join? So he's from Lebanon. He could join Hezbollah. He doesn't have to, you know, make his way across the Zionist entity to get to Hamas. He can just go back home and join Hezbollah. Right? Or he can, you know, take a boat ride and join the Houthis.
He was awarded the Megaphone Prize by Radix Media for his collection of short stories titled, Is This How You Eat a Watermelon?
I wonder if he was in the encampment, what would be his wish list of things to be sent in. Obviously a watermelon, for one. Zahin al-Amin. Listen to what he's... Again, he's talking to a guy, Byron Donalds, a popular congressman from the West Coast of Florida who happens to be black. This is what he says about him.
Since they've been paying you, you race traitor?
Race traitor,
really? Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Why the United States is supporting a Jewish supremacist country?
Outside agitators aren't allowed. You're working for a foreign entity, you bastard.
Nice talk for a master of foreign arts. A guy whose immortal verse has been anthologized between hardcovers in an eco-justice poetry anthology. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. By the way, we still have some gift certificates left for Kelly's Roast Beef, Florida locations only. The great Florida roast beef flavor you know and love, now available on the west coast of Florida, Sarasota, Naples, and South Pasadena. Even if you're back in Massachusetts, you can still pick them up for use next fall. By next fall, they will have 6 locations, maybe 7. By Christmas on the West Coast, and so it's a great deal, and it's a great Mother's Day, Father's Day gift if you got snowbirds in the family. It's great.
Yum, yum, yum.
Go to HowieCarsShow.com and click on store, and you can get your gift certificates, $50 gift certificates for just $25 to Kelly's Roast Beef, the Florida locations only. Harry, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Harry.
Hey, Howie, how are you doing?
Good.
Okay, I got everybody's talking about, you know, the demonstrations on the colleges. Well, like I told the person before, I got another twist for that one. I hope you're sitting down for this. This is yesterday. See, I work. My former place of work was Raytheon Andover. Well, Raytheon, everybody knows, makes Patriot.
Yeah.
Well, they had demonstrators in front of the plant yesterday. And that what they did was, there's a little traffic light there.
Right.
And they were pushing a traffic light And, you know, because, you got to stop for pedestrians.
Right.
They kept pushing it, and they kept backing, the traffic was backing up. My friend, it took him about half an hour to move about 20 feet.
They make a lot of friends that way, don't they, Harry?
Yeah, but here's the thing that got me. I called up the Andover police, and I said, that's obstructing traffic. Oh, that's perfectly legal. They can do that. That's an official from the Andover police.
I know. I'm not surprised, though, Harry. You aren't either. I mean, the cops are hamstrung. And, Andover has become woke, hasn't it? There would be a lot of pushback on the cops if they went in and arrested those hippies.
Yeah, well, see, it's going to be a whole new thing. I live in Lynn right now. I'm thinking the next target is going to be General Electric. They're getting off the
campuses,
the college thing, and now they're getting new bounds.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do next. It seems like Lynn would have less stomach for him than Andover. The more woke the community, the more they're going to be able to get away with. Thanks for the call, Harry. 844-500-4242. People are congratulating me on getting the Lifetime Achievement Award from Talkers. Arden, hi, Howie. Congratulations. So happy for you. This is from 603. My grandmother's house was literally 2 miles from Hofstra every Sunday. Congrats. 617. Congrats. Thank you. Thanks for everybody. And you know,
congratulate the Presidential Freedom Medal recipients. And
no, John Kerry's getting one of those, not me.
He called it the Freedom of Medal.
Oh, is that this afternoon? Will you send that one to me for my,
congratulate the Presidential Freedom Medal recipients. And
as if I didn't have enough already, right, to go with. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. This is Bernie Sanders. This was an interesting thing that he said. And you got to take it with a grain of salt when he's talking about what a great president LBJ was. Always remember, the war on poverty is over. Poverty won. But, a guy like Bernie Sanders, if it increases welfare dependency, he's all for it. But this is his take on what's happening now. Cut 14.
Well, in terms of his campaign, I am thinking back, and other people are making this reference, that this may be Biden's Vietnam. Lyndon Johnson, in many respects, was a very, very good president domestically. Brought forth some major pieces of legislation. He chose
all of
not
which
to run,
were disastrous
in 68 because of opposition to his views on Vietnam. And I worry very much that President Biden is putting himself in a position where he has alienated not just young people, but a lot of the Democratic base.
A lot of the Democratic base? That speaks volumes about the Democrat base if they're opposed to a democracy wiping out a Nazi terrorist threat to it. This was Trump this afternoon or this morning talking about, I think during a break in the morning session or maybe the lunch and recess, whatever, talking about the jobs report. Cut 18.
Okay, thank you very much. Asked me to speak a little bit about the job numbers, and the job numbers just came out, and they're horrible. And they're very, and I say that not happily, I say that very unhappily. But the numbers are horrible. It's just these people are destroying our country. Here's another sign of it. So, as you probably know, before I did, the job numbers came out. They're really, really low, really bad. Our economy's bad, and now it's starting to show. So, you'll see, and it'll only get worse. It'll only get worse. We're only going one way with the so-called leadership. There is no leadership.
Again, they're not going to fact check that statement because it's so obviously true. This was an FDNY firefighter in New York yesterday when he showed up with the pizzas. Cut 19.
Sir, save us, please.
Sir, please save us. Save us, please. That's what he said. Sketty, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Sketty.
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome. Well deserved. I'm glad you're back up in our neck of the woods.
Thank you.
I look forward to.
Thank you. It was only 85 today in Palm Beach. So, you know, there's nothing. I have nothing to miss.
Hey, well, listen,
I'm
you
kidding.
Know what happened last year. We jumped from spring right into summer. It was so doggone hot. It rained all the time. So I say, let it be rainy now and, you know, spring-like, and then maybe this summer will be normal without all that doggone rain.
Yeah, I live near a brook, and I was out walking Roscoe yesterday morning, and there was so much water in the brook. For the first time ever, I saw a duck just floating down the brook towards the bigger river. And just, you know, he wasn't paddling or anything, and he was just quacking and enjoying his ride down. That's how much water there is. But thank you, Sketty, and it is good to be back. I'm happy to be back. Thank you very much. Fred, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, Howie.
Hi.
Let's talk about New Hampshire. First of all, the demonstration they had at University of New Hampshire last night, they immediately nipped it in the bud. I worked for the sheriff's department. They asked me to drive one of the paddy wagons, but I was doing something. As soon as they set the tents up, they immediately pull the tents down. It's like a little kid, you know, give an inch and take a mile.
Right.
And they cut out the demonstration right off the bat. No screwing around. And then the other thing today, the Sununu, who came out, I got to give him credit, because he can be on the fence sometimes.
Yes, he can.
He denounced, you know, what's going on, as did Kelly Ayotte, who was a former senator.
And Chuck candidate Morris. For governor, and he's the other Republican candidate for governor.
Right. In the two Democrats, we've heard nothing.
Isn't that a shocker, Fred? Something tells me Kelly Ayotte and Chuck Morris are on the right side of this issue with the New Hampshire electorate. Even the Democrats, I would think, or at least a large plurality, if not a majority, of the Democrats. Thanks for the call, Fred. Yeah, are you sorry you missed out on the driving up? I was going to ask him if he was sorry he missed out. Bet the smell was pretty bad in those paddy wagons last night. Yuck. All right, 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show returns after this. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
She's not only the only person receiving this medal. It's not the reason she's getting it, but it's because she's from Delaware, although I keep looking for it.
Maybe we quote you on that, Mr. President. That was this afternoon. We have yet another episode tonight of Meet the Experts. It's now available to stream. This week I spoke with Dennis Swords. He's the owner, the operator, a chef and raconteur of Follinsby Inn in North Sutton, New Hampshire. It's a great place. I've stayed there. Grace has stayed there. We've had wonderful times there. Dennis told me what drew him to innkeeping after spending most of his professional life as a lawyer in Louisiana, how he adds his own touch to the inn, and much, much more. Take a listen.
You know, a lot of us have had experience working in hotels or restaurants when we were kids. You never had that.
The closest thing was I'd worked at a restaurant as a busboy, but no experience, no idea how to run a business. So I really didn't know what I was getting into as far as running a business.
So what do you most enjoy about being an innkeeper?
I enjoy the freedom it gives me to be creative. I do the cooking. The guests do love the breakfast, corned beef hash. I corn my own beef. Guests really love the angel biscuits and describe them as a mix between a biscuit and a croissant.
Tell us about the area around North Sutton.
No box stores, old-fashioned bookstores, coffee houses, good restaurants, several mountains in the area, beautiful scenery. We are on the lake with our private dock. We have canoes and kayaks for the guests. It's a part of New Hampshire that is relatively undiscovered as compared to Winnipesaukee or those areas that are full of tourists and touristy stuff. We're still New England, even though we're only 90 minutes away from Boston.
Have there been any historical guests of interest?
One that you'll like, Bernhard Goetz.
The New York subway shooter?
After he defended his life, self-defense, he escaped to Follinsbee Inn.
Really?
That was a new one on me. 844-500-4242. He worked in Lafayette, Louisiana, Cajun country, oil country. When I was down at the Super Bowl in Louisiana, New Orleans in 1986, first time the Patriots played, they got crushed by the Bears. You know, we were on expense accounts, so a couple of us went in one night to this really fancy place in the French Quarter restaurant, but we needed coats, you know, sport coats that we didn't have. So we got these really hideous-looking sports coats, and I walked in and with another guy, and the maitre d', snotty-looking guy, said, looked at us and said, "You boys from Lafayette?" And we weren't from Louisiana, but we knew he was giving us the needle big time. I thought about telling that story on the during the podcast, but I figured I wanted to stick with the Follinsbee Inn, which is a fantastic place. Check out the podcast. Meet the experts. You can get it at HowieCarShow.com or wherever you get your Howie Car Show podcasts. Max, you're next with Howie Car. Go ahead, Max.
Yeah, thanks, Holly. This is Max Blues. You should have told them you wanted to buy their women, and you're going to eat there every morning, noon, and night. I just wanted to welcome you back to the hub of the universe. And I can't believe these colleges are getting away with discriminating against Jewish people. And like Columbia, they're going to have a hybrid school, hybrid learning, with all the Jewish kids have to stay in their dorm. Is that what it is?
That can't work out, Max. They're not. I mean, that's probably what they would like, but they're not. No one's going to allow that. Not even the Egyptian president is going to allow that. No, it is just really a disgrace what's going on. And I'm so glad that you know, people like the UNC fraternity, the guys at Ole Miss, Cupid, whatever his name is at UCLA, all these people are starting to push back. And the more they push back, these people are losers that are in these encampments. Even people like Peggy Noonan, I don't usually read her column in the Wall Street Journal. She went up to Columbia to try to talk to him. She said, "No one will make eye contact with you." The Harvard guy at the Wall Street Journal said, "You can't even get them to debate." They go, "Oh, we're only students. We're only students." Have fun this weekend. I'm Howie Carr.